If you don't know the tradition, there is a great tradition of saying, He is risen, and you all respond, He is risen indeed. He is risen. He is risen. Now imagine you're at camp, summer camp. He is risen.
He is risen.
Amen. Take your Bibles, please, and open with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. There's more good news to the resurrection than only Christ is risen. And that good news is that if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, then soon you also will be risen indeed. And as Brother Nate said, with a whole new body. The title of the message this morning is Your Resurrection Body, and we will start in 1 Corinthians 15:42, but we've got lots more verses to cover. 1 Corinthians 15:42 says this, "So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption." Now we need to begin with the context, and let me give you the context of Genesis 1:1 to 1 Corinthians 15:41 in three letters. All right? This is the context. Genesis 1:1 to 1 Corinthians 15:41. GMC. You like the truck, only far more reliable. G. There is a God in heaven. Everything in the Bible up to this point and after this point to the very end says that there is a God in heaven. He is holy. He is righteous. He is good. He is the creator of the world and all it contains, and He created you. Even if you don't believe it, your unbelief changes nothing. You are a creature of the God of heaven. That God in the beginning created man in His image. He created them male and female. There are only two genders. Don't believe science, which says there are 72. There are only two. Don't go with the science. And God in the beginning made man in His image and blessed him abundantly with every good and perfect gift. In the beginning, it was all good, very good. Second letter, M, but man. Thank you, Shirley, for your wonderful testimony. And Shirley kept saying, you know, but God, but man. Man sinned against God in the beginning. And all of Scripture from Genesis chapter 3 to 1 Corinthians 15 says that man has sinned grievously against the God of heaven. So grievously that every man is justly deserving of God's punishment for sin, which is death. The Old Testament says there is not a righteous man on the earth who does good and does not sin. And the New Testament says that the wages of sin is what? Death, Romans 6:23. And that through one man sin entered this world, and death through sin, and thus death spread like a terrible disease to all men. Why? Because all sinned. Now those two, G and M, they are found throughout the Bible. There is a God in heaven, and man has sinned against God, making himself deserving of death. Which raises the question, is there any hope? Is there any hope from this cancer we call death? Is there any hope from this disease we call death? Is there any hope from this pandemic? Because it is far, far, far more serious than some little COVID-19. Is there any cure for sin and death? Is there any hope for victory over the grave? C, GMC, C, Christ. Christ is the only hope for mankind. And if you don't believe that, it changes nothing. And if you don't believe it, you're guilty of making God a liar and you're deserving of death and hell. Your unbelief changes nothing. Christ is the only hope. It is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptance that Christ Jesus came into this world to save whom? Sinners. 1 Timothy 1:15. And to that end, Jesus Christ lived a sinless life, which neither you nor I could ever live. He fulfilled all the law of God. And then what? Well, that brings us to what Brother Jason read to us. Thank you, Jason. From 1 Corinthians 15. Then Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. 1 Corinthians 15:3. And He was buried. And He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Then He was seen alive by hundreds of witnesses. The Bible says, and He showed Himself. He presented to them alive by many infallible proofs. Don't believe it? Your unbelief changes nothing. It's a fact. But the gospel doesn't end there. There's so much more to it. It's all in here. And there is a truth of the gospel that gets often overlooked, but it shouldn't. And that is this. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you too will rise up from the dead with a new body. That brings us to 1 Corinthians 15:42. Take a look. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. Now, do you see where it says so also? Every Bible has that, or so it is. Your Bible has it. If you're looking, I encourage you to follow along. So also is the resurrection of the dead. That line points us to the previous verses 35 to 41, where God reveals three general characteristics of your resurrection body. And we're going to look at those briefly. Three general characteristics of your resurrection body. But look at verse 42 again. It says, so also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. Here, Paul begins to reveal four more specific characteristics of your resurrection body. How many does that add up to? Seven. You should leave today with seven great traits, seven glorious characteristics of your resurrection body. And all of them should lead you to be grateful to God, faithful to God, and hopeful for the life ahead if you're a believer. Now, before we jump into the first three and the second four, all right? How many of you, just show of hands, quick survey. How many of you right now in your life, and my hand's going up, are dealing with some kind of health issue? That's a lot of people. If you didn't raise your hand, just wait. Because you will. So, if you raised your hand, you know, man, there's got to be something better than this dying, decaying old body. And if you didn't raise your hand, one day you will probably find out. You'll long for something better. So let's look at the general characteristics and the specific characteristics of your resurrection body. Number one, your resurrection body will be new and improved. New and improved. When I was growing up, by the way, that was the number one marketing line for laundry detergent, cars, almost everything they were selling. It's new and improved. Take a look. Verse 35. Go up to verse 35. But someone will say, and Paul knows there's objectors to the resurrection. Verse 35. But someone will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Paul begins to answer those two questions. These were objections to the doctrine of the resurrection. And to this day, people reject the doctrine of the resurrection. Why? Because they lean on their own understanding, which is the way of the fool. Right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. So Paul says, verse 36, foolish one. Now, that's not to say, remember Jesus said, don't call your brother a fool. That in Matthew 5 is the word moron. Don't call your brother a moron. This is a lighter, this is like, oh, you silly rabbit. This is a softer, gentler, kinder, foolish one, but it's still a rebuke. Foolish one. Verse 36, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies. And what you sow, you do not sow that body that shall be, but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain. How many of you do any gardening? A little bit of gardening? How many of you know what gardening is? Okay. A couple hands not raised. Let's talk after church. We're going to have you meet with Pastor Rick. Pastor Rick, where are you? Yeah, we're going to have, yeah. So see Pastor Rick if you don't know what gardening is. Well, you have a seed. And you sow that seed into the ground, and that seed has a certain body, tiny, usually kind of brown, not too glorious, nothing special about that seed. That goes into the ground, and what comes out is something totally different. Might be like we showed to the kids, a little green sprout. My wife has planted some tomato seeds already, and we got these nice, cute little green sprouts coming up in the basement. And then she's going to transplant them. And next thing you know, there's going to be this big vine that's growing out of the garden and red fruit. Well, Paul is answering the question, well, how are the dead raised up? And he's saying, like that. Basically, like that. Something comes, your body is sown into the ground. Doesn't matter what condition it's in when it gets there. It doesn't matter if you have a vault or a vase or your ashes. It doesn't matter. Your body goes into the ground, and what's going to come out is something with a whole different body. Verse 42, so it is with the resurrection of the dead. You go into the ground, you come up with a different body. New and greatly improved. Thanks to whom? Thanks to God, which leads to point two. Not only is your resurrection body going to be new and improved, it's going to be given you by God. Given by God. Verse 38. But God, aha, there we go. Shirley's not here. She's going to have to listen to online. But God gives it a body as he pleases, and to each seed its own body. So it is with the resurrection of the dead, verse 42a. In other words, the same God who gave Adam and Eve their perfect bodies in the beginning, before sin came into the world, that same God is going to give you a new and improved body in the end, just as the kids said, without sin. Way to go, Noah. I think Noah got that one. Way to go. What are we learning? If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, that's a big if. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, when you die, doesn't matter how you die or when you die, you will go into the ground, and when you are raised again, you're going to have a new body. New and improved, given by God. And number three, fit for heaven. I won't ask for a show of hands, but how many of you actually would like to be fit? Sure, who doesn't want to be fit? Well, your body, you're going to be fit for heaven. Fit for heaven. Look at verse 39. Verse 39, all flesh is not the same flesh. There is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of animals, another of fish, and another of birds. How many of you have a bird? Who has a bird? All right. How many have a dog? Dog? Okay. Anybody have a fish? A couple of fish. All right. Here we have, in verse 39, four bodies. Four bodies. Birds, fish, animals, and people. Well, I think we can agree they're all different, right? Well, based on what? Well, they're all different based on God, but they're all different based on what they were designed for and where they were designed to live. Birds in the sky. So God gave them feathers and wings. Fish in the water. So God gave them fins and things. Animals outside. So God gave them thick skin and fur. And people? Haha. Well, interestingly, we were made to have dominion over all the creation. And so we have bodies that actually can adapt. We can swim. No, we can't live in the water, but we can swim. And we can't fly, but we can create things that fly. And we don't live outside, but we can make things so that we can live outside. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. And God, in his grace, has fitted us for life here on earth. But we're not going to live here forever. Look at verse 40. There are also celestial bodies, talking about the sun, moon, and stars. There are bodies that are made to live in heaven. And there are terrestrial bodies. What is that? Bodies designed by God to live on the earth. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. Now, glory, as some of you know, especially our youth, and especially Beth Russell, she's like the best at this. I know that she could just cite right now. Glory is the sum of things that make you worthy of praise. Right, Beth? Where are you, Beth? There. Right? You could have got that. Glory is the sum of what makes someone or something worthy of praise. What is the glory of God? The sum of God's attributes that make him worthy of praise. What is Paul saying here? Well, the glory of the celestial is one. In other words, those bodies that hang in the heavens, the sun, moon, and stars, and whatever else is up there, right? All the planets. They have each a set of attributes that make them cool. All right. Well, the glory of the terrestrial is another. We all have a sum of attributes that make us fit for where we live. The glory of the terrestrial is another. So the heavenly bodies, they can hang out in space with absolutely no supports. Sounds cool to me. Can you do that? No, you can't. However, we have other attributes. We can run around all over the earth. Can the sun do that? No. But in each case, the point is, God gives the attributes needed to fit them for where they live and for what they're made to do. Verse 41. There is one glory of the sun, like the sun is this massive ball of fire that hangs in space and gives just the right amount of heat and light for life on the earth from 93 million miles away. I was going to do this thing with the kids. It was going to be too complex, but I was going to bring this little flashlight and say we're in a dark room and it's cold and we need heat and light. Is this flashlight going to work? Nope. Need more power. And then I was going to plug in this giant work light. Wow, there's more heat and power. This might work. But now we want to give heat and light to all of Pueblo. We need more power. Well, now let's give heat and light to all of Colorado. More power. Let's give heat and light to all of the United States. You get where I'm going? Let's give heat and light for everyone on the face of the planet. You have any idea how much power that is? Look up the power of the sun. I forget, it's some astronomical, pun intended, number. It is an astronomical number, like, you know, times 10 to the 85th gigawatts or something. Reference to Back to the Future. All right. What is the point here? The point is that it is not too difficult for God to raise you from the dead and give you a new and improved body, a given by God body, and one that is perfectly fitted for where you are going to live and to serve. Verse 41 says, there's one glory of the sun, there's another glory of the moon, like it reflects the light of the sun, serves as nightlight. Another glory of the stars, they twinkle with varying degrees of light from 100 million miles away. Each one is unique. One star differs from another in glory. Verse 42, so also is the resurrection of the dead. What's the point? Number one, if you believe in Jesus Christ, you're getting a new and improved body. Number two, if you believe in Jesus Christ, you will have a given by God body. And number three, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you will have a fit for heaven body. That is way too general. It's a starting point. We need some specifics. Here come four more. The four specific, even more wonderful characteristics of your resurrection body. Obviously, there have to be some major changes. So now look at verse 42. Here's characteristic number four, specific one, number one. But let's just keep in one through seven, okay? We're on characteristic number four. Your resurrection body will be incorruptible. Verse 42, the body is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. Show of hands, how many of you are getting older? Some people are not listening. So I'm going to try it again. How many of you are getting older? Right? Good. So some of the young gals right there, smart, they raise their hands. But now, different show of hands, how many of you are feeling it? Yeah, some of us are feeling it. We know we're getting older. We look in the mirror. It says, we're not blind to this. We see what's going on. All right, well, what is happening? Time is taking a toll. That is called corruption. That's what he means here. All he means is the body is sown in a state of decaying over time. All of us, over time, we can't do what we used to. You know, the old gray mare, she ain't what she used to be, ain't what she used to be, ain't what she used to be many long years ago. Some of you know that. You can look it up on YouTube. There's an old guy singing that song, and it's great. Yeah. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, you will. Bodies break down over time, and no doctor can help. I mean, how many of us have gone to a doctor saying, hey, can you help me with, for me, my allergies? Oh, we got fexofenadine, we got cetirizine, I know all the drug names, sadly, for allergy things. We got fluticasone or fluticasone, and they got all kinds of stuff. Go to the pharmacist today and say, do you have anything that could help me with death? What? Yeah, I don't want to die, and I know it's coming, and I just want whatever pill, I'll spray it up my nose, whatever you got, I don't want to die. They don't have it. God does. God does. The whole world should say, that's unbelievable, and it is. But the moment you believe, you'll know it's true. John 7:17. Your body breaks down over time, but the good news is, if you believe in Jesus Christ and the gospel, it is sown in corruption in that sad state of decaying and breaking down over time, but it will be raised in incorruption. You know what that means? No more decay. No more decay. No more aches and pains at the start of every day. No more doctor's visits. No more bills. And no more allergy meds and no more pills. Hooray! This is good news. It means no more sickness, no more disease, no more age spots, wrinkles, or allergies. This is good news, beloved. And that's not all. Number five. Your resurrection body will be glorious. Verse 43. It is sown in dishonor, but it is raised in glory. Honor is a term of value. It's a term of value. Your body is sown in dishonor. It means it goes into the ground. It's not really worth much to anybody. Hey, you want this body? I don't want that body. You want this body? It's for sale. I mean, science maybe, but pretty much nobody has value for your body when it's sown into the ground. But it is raised in glory. Oh, now it is precious. It is so valuable to God. You are going to get a body that is never going to decay again, and it is going to be glorious. Means it's going to have this sum of attributes that make it precious to you and precious to God forever. I like this one, number 6. Your resurrection body is going to be powerful. Verse 43b, I mean, forget Schwarzenegger. It's going to be powerful. It is sown in weakness, verse 43b, it is raised in power. You know, our present bodies are always subject to illness. If you're not sick now, you're going to be. If you're not weak now, you're going to be. Live long enough and you are going to give in. Try as you may. You're going to try. I'm sure you're going to run. You're going to lift weights and you're going to eat the right foods and you're going to have a perfect diet. But I'm sorry, there is no winning that war. I know it's real popular these days to say age is just a number. Well, that's just a lie. Age is just a number is just a lie because it's not just a number. It records the number of years you've lived on earth and your days are numbered. Right? Psalm 90, 70 years, maybe 80. And if you live more than 80 years, you're beating the statistics. And a lot of times those final years, they're not usually glorious. But that's all going to change. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. Now that, you know, our capacity to overcome the illness and the weakness, it goes down over time and life gets frustrating. And I was reading a commentary the other day and Pastor Dan walked in. And I said, Pastor Dan, listen to what this commentator says about the body is sown in weakness. I told him I was going to pick on him. And I remembered. I said, Dan, listen. Weakness in 1 Corinthians 15:43 denotes the incapacity to achieve as once before, and thus, therefore, the downward spiral of consequent frustration and de-energization through maximal unsuccessful effort and distraction. And Pastor Dan, he didn't even blink. He said, so basically, one foot in the grave and the other on a banana peel. I was like, I wish that guy would have written that. Exactly. But listen, not for long. The body is sown in weakness, but it is raised in power. Your body will have all the capacities necessary to live joyfully and to serve energetically in eternity without waning. Your strength will not wane. You will not suffer weakness or illness or fatigue. The greatest, in my opinion, description of heaven is in Revelation 21 and 22, and it tells us what will not be there. No more sin, no more sorrow, no more tears, no more weakness, no more illness, no more death, and no more curse. Praise God. And if you're in Christ, that's what we're looking forward to. One more, last one, number 7. Your resurrection body will be supernatural like Christ's. Look briefly at verses 44 to 49. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a literally supernatural body. There is a natural body, and there is a supernatural body. And thus it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being, but the last Adam, Christ, became a life-giving spirit. Listen, Christ is the one who raised up from the dead, but not with the same body. I heard someone say recently, man, Christ came out of the grave, same body. And I go, whoa, no, that is not true. Similar, not the same. And if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you know these words. Our citizenship is in heaven, from which we eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies, literally our bodies of humiliation, because it's humiliating as we age. He will transform our bodies of humiliation to be conformed to His glorious body. How? According to the power by which He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. However, verse 46, take a look. However, it's like hold your horses. The spiritual is not first, but the natural. You know what that means? You have to endure life in this body first. But I'll tell you what, the way to endure life in this body is through faith in Jesus Christ. There is no better way to live life waiting for heaven than to live your life through faith in Jesus Christ. Why? Because we have joy, we have hope, we have the promise of God, and we have the resurrection of Jesus Christ to prove that his sacrifice for our sins was accepted by God. The first man, verse 47, was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven, not made of dust. You will no longer be dust, and you will never return to dust again. Verse 48, as was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. That means we who are of Adam are like him, corruptible, weak, and having a natural body. But as is the heavenly man, so those who are the heavenly. You know what that means? If you've been born again of heaven, born again by the Spirit of God, then soon and very soon we are going to see the Lord and we're going to be like him. We will have new and improved, given by God, fit for heaven, incorruptible, glorious, powerful, supernatural bodies just like Jesus Christ. Verse 49. And just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall bear the image of the heavenly man. We shall be like him in all these ways and some more besides. Was Jesus Christ visible when he rose from the dead? Yes, you will be visible. Did Jesus Christ have a body when he was raised from the dead? Yes, you will have a body. Was Jesus Christ recognizable when he was raised from the dead? Yes, seems like it's not at first in some cases, but yes, you will be recognizable. Beloved, now we are children of God, 1 John 3:2 says. And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. I know this is a little weird, but my mom really liked Bob Barker. Anybody know who he is? He was on the game show called The Price is Right. See? A lot of game show watchers in here. I grew up watching that game show. The greatest thing you could ever win on The Price is Right, if I'm not mistaken, was a new car. And they'd say, a new car. And the people would go nuts. And ladies would be running around and Bob Barker would get a kiss and it was like pandemonium. Beloved, listen. What you're getting, I think all the cars that Bob Barker gave out when I was growing up are now in a trash heap somewhere. They're all gone. None of them, they all went into the ground in a state of corruption, never to rise again. Not so with you. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you're going to get a new body. You really are. So what should you do? Number one, application. Be grateful. Verse 57. But thanks be to God who gives us this victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. This victory over the grave. This victory over sin. This victory over death, hell, and the devil. Thanks be to God. Listen, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, be forever grateful. Whatever your circumstance, there is reason to give thanks to God. However you feel, God is always worthy of worship. Second, be grateful and be faithful. Verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, in light of everything Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15 about the resurrection from the dead, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. How so? Because Jesus is risen, and so will you be. Laboring for Christ is never in vain. Vacuuming fellowship hall, preparing something for Easter morning, coming to work day. I noticed that a lot of you like breakfast, so next Saturday at 7:30, if all of you who loved breakfast would come out, we'd be done by 9:30. Shameless plug for work day next Saturday. Be faithful. Be faithful to serve Christ. Do something, because doing the Lord's work is never in vain. And finally, third, be hopeful. Be hopeful. Look forward to that day when Jesus Christ comes again and we who believe are raised up forever to be with him. But what if you don't believe? What if you're today and you don't believe? The Bible has no good news for those who reject Jesus Christ and the gospel, because Those who reject the good news are making God out to be a liar and are making themselves guilty of the exact same sin as the devil. Pride, arrogance, rebellion, and rejection with no basis whatsoever. There is no basis for unbelief. You aren't smarter than God. You're not smarter than Christ. You're not smarter than the millions and millions of people who have come to faith in Jesus Christ. But there's good news for you. God brought you here this morning, and it wasn't by chance. God wants you to be saved. He wants you to be with Him in heaven. He wants to give you a new body, and you need it. God wants you to be saved. Let today be the day of salvation. What do you need to do for that? We're going to pray. And when we pray, just say, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Forgive me, Father, of my sins. Just put your faith in Jesus Christ. There's no formula. There's no sinner's prayer. Pray from the heart and ask God to save you, and He will. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this good news. What great news you've given us this morning from your word, that we who have believed in Jesus Christ will be raised from the dead just as you raised Him from the dead. We look forward to that day, Father. Help us to be grateful, faithful, and hopeful. And Father, if there's anyone in this place today who has come here without Jesus Christ, be merciful today to that sinner. May today be the day of salvation. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.